We'll talk about this more coming up throughout the show. Make sure you stay tuned for that. But let's welcome in our next guest, switch it up, talk some Jazz basketball as they head into the All-Star break. He's going to be down in New Orleans with Trey Lyles, with Dante Exum, of course, with Gordon Hayward, who's playing on the big game on Sunday night. It is our Utah Jazz insider, Tony Jones. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tony.
Don't forget Joel Ballenboy, who is now a D-League All-Star.
I almost forgot about that, Tony. Well, appreciate that.
How come Joel Ballenboy has been out and back from the D-League 1,000 times plus this year?
Because it's a proximity thing. So, you know, the Jazz can send him down to the D-League to play on like a Thursday or a Friday, and then he can come back for a home game on a Saturday. And I think it's like unlimited amount of times where you can send a guy back and forth from the D-League, and it's like across the city. So, you know, that's why Dennis Lindsay and the Jazz, they were so excited when the Stars moved to Salt Lake City in the first place.
Tony, looking at the Jazz, now that the hindsight, I guess, is 2020, can we look back at that game last night and say that really was a must-win? They needed some positive mojo going into the break.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, I don't want to – I never – I'm always hesitant to throw out must-wins in the midst of an 82-game season, especially when, you know, there's a team like the Jazz that, you know, no matter what, they're pretty much assured of going to the postseason. But, man, it was an important win for them, just for their psyche, because they've been playing so badly. It probably – I mean, I don't want to say it would have killed them, but, I mean, it would have been – you know, really bad for them to go into the break with a four-game losing streak, especially when you see what's on the other side of that break. You have a three-game road trip, and two of those games are at the Washington Wizards and at the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, you know, things kind of really tighten up for the Jazz post All-Star break. So I think it was really big for them to go ahead and get a win last night going into the All-Star break.
Well, how important was it for Dante Exum to show off a little bit of that athleticism again last night with that huge dunk?
You know, it's been important for him. You know, here's the thing with Dante. I mean, the Jazz warned us about this, you know, way back in August. You know, they said it's going to take a little while. It's not going to happen all at once. He's probably going to, you know, improve incrementally as the season has gone on. And, you know, that's pretty much exactly what's happened, and you know, and that's what Dennis Lindsay said. And he's a guy that I've always been in his camp in terms of I've always believed in his skill set. You know, he's you know, a super athletic for a 6'6" guy, and he has some really good basketball instincts. He's a really good passer, and it was just really good to see him, you know, for, you know, a night kind of put it all together. And, you know, that dunk on Norvon Leigh kind of capped it off, you know, but he's been showing that incrementally, as the season has gone on. And I think that, you know, the leap for him is probably going to come, from this summer to next year.
On the flip side, a guy who I thought had a really good rookie year, maybe better than most people expected, was Trey Lyles. And now he's totally out of the rotation. He got 2 minutes last night at the end of a blowout. He just hasn't played well this season. What do you make of his confidence where the Jazz are on Trey Lyles as far as how they feel about him as a piece of their future?
You know, that's, you know, I think the first thing is, you know, you hit it right on the head. I mean, he just hasn't played well. He hasn't shot the ball well. He hasn't defended well. You know, he's not finishing when he goes to the basket. I mean, he's just hasn't played well. And I think a lot of that is because he doesn't have nearly the leash that he had a year ago. Last year, you know, he could play a little bit without looking over his shoulder, especially when Derek Favors missed a string of 20 games, because essentially he was, you know, he was one of only two power forwards on the roster when Favors went down. You know, so he got a longer leash last year, and that leash isn't as long this year because there's a lot of competition at power forward. I mean, Favors is back. Boris Diaw is there, and you know, and honestly, Joe Johnson is looking more and more like a small ball power forward with every passing game. So, you know, his leash isn't as long as it has been. The Jazz are still really high on him; they still really like him. He's still 21 years old, but he's a guy that, you know, from now until the end of the season, you know, every chance that he gets, he has to go in and produce, and that pressure wasn't. That fundamental pressure wasn't there for him last year.
What should fan expectations be for Gordon Hayward in the All-Star game as far as minutes and overall production?
You know, I think that, you know, he'll get the allotted amount of minutes. You know, I think he'll probably get about 20 minutes. You know, I'm not sure what to expect from him. I mean, I think, you know, it'll be interesting for me to see Gordon in a wide-open style of game that's not really structured. You know, obviously you see, you know, the super athletes, the LeBron Jameses and, you know, the Russell Westbrooks and the Kevin Durants and, you know, those guys who thrive in the open court game. It'll be interesting to see Gordon in that same kind of open court game. I'm actually really interested in seeing how he reacts to the weekend, how he reacts to the moment, how he reacts, you know, just to the overall ambiance. So it'll be a fun weekend for him, and I think it's one that's well-deserved and been a long time coming for him.
Do you expect to see many major changes? And I don't necessarily mean, you know, the Jazz going out and making a trade in the second half of the season as we break down the Utah Jazz with our Jazz insider, Tony Jones. But does the rotation tighten up for the Jazz? I mean, how do they handle the second or these last 30 games of the season?
Yeah, well, the last two games, I mean, Quinn Snyder's started tightening up the rotation. In terms of, you know, significantly cutting Trey Lyles' minutes. So, you know, last night, essentially, Quinn Snyder went 9 guys, where he's been going with 10 and even 11 guys for much of the season. So, you know, I actually think that there's a chance that the Jazz are active at the deadline, just simply for the fact that they're $4 million underneath the salary cap floor. There are $80 million now. The salary cap floor is $84 million. You know, so they can potentially take on a contract, you know, maybe a rental for the end of the season, to where they don't have to give out any money. So it'll be really interesting to see what the Jazz do this next week in terms of the trade deadline, because Dennis Lindsay has shown that he's not afraid to be aggressive, and I think that the window is there, even if it's a small window for the Jazz to be aggressive.
You can find him on Twitter at TribJazz. Read him in the Salt Lake Tribune. He's our Utah Jazz insider. He is Tony Jones. Tony, enjoy New Orleans.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.